Hallöchen Leute und herzlich willkommen zu dieser neuen Podcast-Folge. Wir machen heute direkt weiter mit Englisch und zwar der Kommunikationsprüfung. Und zwar gucken wir uns heute erstmal Britishness an, also so Stereotypen, die man vielleicht so hat, wenn man an Großbritannien denkt. Dann passend dazu die Monarchy. Und dann gucken wir uns auch noch Scotland an, also das Thema so Great Britain, was natürlich auch dazu gehört. Ich würde sagen, wir fangen an mit Britishness und einfach so wichtige Informationen. Und mir fällt gerade auf, ich muss hier auf Englisch reden. Das war gerade irgendwie voll ungewohnt, weil ich habe so angefangen und dann habe ich irgendwie auf Deutsch weitergeredet. Aber ja, ihr wisst ja, dass die Podcast-Folgen auf Englisch sind. Deswegen laber ich gar nicht mehr auf Deutsch weiter, sondern wir machen jetzt weiter mit Englisch. Und zwar, let's talk about Britishness and important facts. And first of all, let's talk about the British identity or what people maybe think about British people. So there are a lot of British stereotypes, and with the stereotypes, people sometimes tend to define a typically British person who is typically British. And I would say let's have a look on a few stereotypes. First of all, people sometimes say that British people are very polite. So, for example, the term thank you is used very often, which is why people say that people from Britain are very polite, which is why Britons are also perceived as very open-minded and in general trying to talk with other people, for example, also with people from other cultures or from a different origin. In addition, it is also a stereotype that in England it is very common to drink a lot of alcohol, which is why citizens are not very sober, even for example, if they go to work. And being drunk and actually never sober is also connected to another stereotype, so that Britons are not really intelligent, and maybe also that they're not smart, not well educated. And you always have to keep in mind that these are only stereotypes. A stereotype doesn't mean that people from Great Britain are really this way, that they're behaving like these stereotypes. So never think that stereotypes are reality. Because if we also have a look on the definition of stereotypes, it becomes clear that stereotypes, they are held up fixed and oversimplified, and these are only like images or ideas of a particular type of person or thing. But once again, the idea of stereotypes is very simple, so there is not a lot of proof that stereotypes or the idea behind the stereotypes are actually true, so keep that in mind. But let's have a look again on stereotypes. Another stereotype could also be that Great Britain or British people are very generous or very relaxed, polite, humble, and so on. So very open-minded. And I think a very important stereotype or a cliche when you think about Great Britain is drinking tea and having tea time. And this is actually very interesting because tea was actually shaped or supported by China when during the 17th century China imported a lot of tea, and therefore it became kind of a tradition to drink a lot of tea in the afternoon. So I think everyone knows that kind of stereotype. Furthermore, one could say that another stereotype is also black humor, so that they make a lot of funny jokes and just are very open-minded, and once again, they don't stress at all, they're very relaxed. And having like these stereotypes can also be connected to the sense of belonging. So if you belong to a group of people, and in this group, stereotypes are kind of true. So if you belong to a group where, for example, the stereotype being kind is reality, then you can find that particular group and be happy. However, British identity is also shaped by many problems, like for example, that people don't feel a sense of belonging. So this shows once again that stereotypes are not always the reality. And yeah, let's have a look on British identity now a little bit closer. So the British identity is a shared heritage that is developing continuously. And if you know, there are kind of four nations: England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, which is the UK. And connected to Great Britain, it is also important to have a look on the British monarchy. So what is actually the role of the monarchy? So in general, you could say that the monarchy which we have in Great Britain is a constitutional monarchy, so a parliamentary democracy. And it's also the oldest form of government in the UK, and the British sovereign plays also an important role for the nation. So let's have a look on the different aspects of the monarchy. First of all, we have the parliament, and this is the ability to make and pass legislations resides. Then the sovereign focus for national identity, unity and pride. It also gives a sense of stability and also once again a sense of belonging. It also recognizes success and also supports the idea of voluntary service. Then the head of state, king or queen. So now we have Queen Elizabeth II, and she has a lot of responsibilities. But actually, if we have a look on political decisions, the head of state in Great Britain does not make political decisions anymore. It kind of only represents the UK and also plays a significant factor because of the history of Great Britain. And the head of state basically only appoints the prime minister, which is the head of government. And the prime minister, who is Boris Johnson, he's a member of House of Commons, and he's also the leader of majority political party. And the House of Commons, it has 630 elected members, and it was also the first past the post voting. So voters put one cross next to their favorite candidate and the ballot paper, and the winner takes it all and represents the own constituency. And the House of Commons is also predominant over the House of Lords, which we'll have a look in a few seconds. And it also has the legislative power, so it creates laws and represents in general the interests and concerns of the UK public. And now lastly, we have the House of Lords. There are 830 seats for high-ranking members of the church, life peers, or hereditary peers. And it also has several judicial functions, as the unit Supreme Court assumes all tasks and it approves laws from the House of Commons, because once again the House of Commons is predominant over the House of Lords. And now let's have a look on advantages and disadvantages, because I don't know if you talked about it, but we in class talked about and discussed the question whether or not the British monarchy is still alive or not, or if we actually need like the royal family. Because once again, the head of state is the king or the queen, and they always have a lot of responsibilities because they're very public and very famous also on media. However, if we have a look on political decisions, they don't really have a lot of responsibilities with regards to politics, which is why there are of course a lot of advantages and pro arguments for the royal family and therefore the British monarchy. However, on the other hand, there are also some disadvantages which might also illustrate why the British monarchy might not be alive anymore. But now let's firstly have a look on the advantages. First of all, I think it is really obvious: tourism. So many people come to visit the UK and also maybe connect more to the royal family. So there is also the merchandises. Also, there are a lot of historical places, and in general, because of the of tourism and historical places, which leads to many people wanting to come to the UK in order to visit and have a look on the royal family. Therefore, there are a lot of economic benefits, because for example they buy the merchandises, or just in general coming to UK can bring a lot of money. So the economic benefit plays a very significant aspect. On the other hand, the monarchy could also play an important role for many people in Britain, because you could take the royal family as an idol. For example, the wedding was very important and many people also followed it on TV, and they just once again have a lot of responsibilities and they can have a lot of influence on society, and if they behave appropriate, maybe people could learn from them. So the royals as an idol. And also, ending the old-fashioned sexism is also an advantage, and it also gives stability and experience to state. However, on the other hand, many people also say that progress and modernization is necessary. In addition, monarchy without any power, why still alive? So once again, we have the royal family, the head of states, but they don't really make a change if we have a look on politics. So many people criticize that it is not important to have the like British monarchy the way it is now. Once again, progress and modernization. And also, they don't really pay taxes. So this is also a little bit problematic. And if you have a look on the point before on advantages, the royal family can be seen as an idol, and many people also perceive the royal family as something you can be proud of, or you can you know, just see as an idol. However, in the past there were many conflicts, a lot of drama, which show that it can be also a lot of pressure for or on the royal family to behave always appropriate, which is why it seems that there are a lot of problems with regards to the responsibility of the royal family, because of course on the one hand they have a lot of responsibilities because they represent kind of the UK. However, there was a lot of drama and a lot of problems. And lastly, a disadvantage could also be that they represent state, but they don't really have an important role, because once again, for example, the head of state, the king or the queen, they don't make any political decisions anymore. So you see, the British monarchy has a lot of benefits, but also some problems and issues which need to be discussed. But now let's have a look again on the British identity and stereotypes, and then we can also discuss the British Empire and the Commonwealth. So once again, the British identity is shaped by a lot of stereotypes, and of course, British identity should give you a place where you belong, but as we saw, there are a lot of difficulties and problems to say that stereotypes are always the truth and always the reality, which is why not everyone can find a sense of belonging like with the British identity. But now let's discuss where is the origin of these stereotypes and the British identity. So the historical background, the empire, is based like on a long, long history. So the British Empire and the Commonwealth is the topic we're going to discuss now. So once upon a time, the British had the largest colonial empire in the world. So in the late 16th century to mid 20th century, and Britain started to establish colonies all over the world. And I think we could say it was about 20% of the world's population. And there is also that important quote, "The sun never sets on the empire." Because why? So why was Britain so successful in having such a huge territory? So on the one hand, because of its economy and political power, and the amount of territory was so outraging. So in addition, the English language also started to root itself deep into the world. As we know, lingua franca, we'll have a look on that a little bit later on, so not in this episode, but we'll discuss lingua franca also. So the British Empire was based on an imperial ideology divided in three parts. First of all, gold. So the main interest was trading to make money. So, like, for example, Britain had products, and then colonies should also like buy them and help, or not help, but to create these products. Also glory. So exporting the British culture was kind of a goal during the British Empire and the Commonwealth, and also the obligation to maintain peace. And in addition, so the last point, or the last part of the three parts, was gospel. So in general, to spread the Christianity and the religion of Great Britain. Also to illustrate it and make it very important all over the world, which can be also connected on the American Dream. Of course, the American Dream has nothing in common with the British Empire, because the American Dream has its origin in America and the British Empire in Great Britain. But the goal of the American Dream was also to spread its ideology all over the world, and this shows also the same, and this is also the same with regards to the British Empire, so to spread the ideology. Two different aspects, but in general the goal was the same. And back then, the British also believed in white British supremacy, so they thought that they were something better, which made them also very confident and self-confident, self-reliant in order to create all these colonies and have such a big amount of territory. And the British colonies started to seek independence after World War I, and they started creating their own political power. So that was in the early 20th century. And in 1931, the Commonwealth was found, and the Commonwealth is a voluntary association which is based on economy, politics, but also culture. And mostly the members of former British colonies are members of the Commonwealth, and it is also important to mention that the ceremonial head is the British monarch. And in the Commonwealth, we can find shared values, also the promotion of democracy, good development, and also that human rights play a significant factor. And if a country doesn't follow basically the rules of the Commonwealth, so once again, to have a good development, democracy, it can be suspended. And you may also know the quote Commonwealth Games, just for the members. So there are also sports which are connected to the Commonwealth traditions, which is also interesting to mention. And after World War II, so mid-20th century, Britain needed a lot of workers. So there were a lot of immigrants without any restrictions, and many people with different ethnicities immigrated to the UK. And Britain became a place of people with a variety of ethnicities, so very multicultural. Multiculturalism played the first time like a very significant factor, because of that we saw in the beginning of like this episode, that in the early 20th century it was very important for Britons to spread like the British supremacy, and they thought that that only there is something big better. And now we can see that Britain is shaped by like a multicultural society. However, when the working situation adapted, many issues also appeared. For example, discrimination and racial tension also played a big problem. And now, if we have a look on the 1960s, there were many restrictions introduced against immigration. So many restrictions against immigration were passed, and also anti-discrimination acts were passed as well to ensure all the equal rights for all citizens. And in the 21st century, immigration continued with immigrants for example, from the European Union. And then also in 2016, the Brexit started and was passed in 2021. So Britain developed a growing hostility, which is why they might also took that decision to leave the European Union. But now, as we discussed, between like the mid-20th century until today, the United Kingdom is shaped by a lot of cultures. So many cultures live together, which we also saw in the presentation of the American Dream and immigration, that, for example, America is also like a melting pot or a salad bowl, and in Great Britain there's a lot of immigration. And what is multiculturalism? So in general, it is a society where every culture has the right to exist, a society full of diversity where people have their own cultures and beliefs, but they happily coexist. So it is no problem that you have your own traditions from your country of origin. However, you have no problems to adapt to the society you live in. So in this case, to the society, to the English society in the United Kingdom. But the problem is that they don't have a common basis of shared values, because these values can be very different from culture to culture. However, it is important that everyone is accepted and tolerated, and multiculturalism takes the best and benefits out of every culture. So cultures are open to others, interactive, and democratic. And multiculturalism has a very broad meaning, so there isn't just like one meaning or one definition. And once again, let's have a look on the history of it, so of the history of multiculturalism of the United Kingdom. So between the 16th century to 20th century, throughout the age of the Empire and the Commonwealth, many foreign people have immigrated into Britain, and especially after the Second World War, there were a lot of immigrants, as we also explained, because Britain needed a lot of workers. Mostly immigrants from former colonies immigrated. Then, once again, in the 1960s, there were a lot of restrictions and also acts because there were too many immigrants. However, still today there is like ongoing immigration, but the problem was that there was hostility towards immigration, and it also grew, and then we also had the Brexit. So Great Britain is multicultural even without immigrated ethnicities, cultures made up of three different nations: England, Scotland, Wales. Then in addition, Britain is now one of the largest immigrant communities anyways, and there are two sides of opinions on the topic of Britain as a multicultural society. So on the one hand, people say that there are a lot of benefits that Great Britain is so multicultural. For example, ethnic diversity enriches Britain. For example, music, fashion and food, etc. And experiencing multiple cultures in only one country can be super beneficial. It also pushes tourism, so people with other ethnicities feel welcome and not judged, which is also once again very important for the economy. In addition, Britain is connected to a lot of different countries due to Commonwealth, and they stand for acceptance and tolerance of these cultures, and they adopted to their cultures due to immigration into the native lifestyle, for example, Chinatown. And people who live there or visit the United Kingdom embrace the multicultural lifestyle, and even like there is a lot of criticism, which we have a look in a few seconds. There are a lot of pro arguments. For example, also by accepting everybody, they create a feeling of home and a sense of belonging for everyone. However, on the other hand, as we also discussed, the term Britishness might be lost due to too much influence from all kinds of cultures and foreign influence. So disappearance of the true British culture is a con argument, and the British will become a minority in their own country is criticized by some people. And another point which is criticized is that the population will be divided into many different groups with each a different culture, so they won't be sharing with each other. Maybe also stereotypes could develop, or also discrimination or racism. So fragmentation and segregation of the once united society, which is why there's also no contact to all other cultures, which might lead to hostility, prejudices, discrimination, inequality, and maybe also some conflicts. And now the last point or aspect, which is very important to have a look on Scotland and the devolution. So firstly, let's have some facts. So Scotland is a country which is part of the UK, so England, Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland. It is very big, but only a small population. Most of them live in the lowlands. And it's a country within a country, basically, so the UK, so that it's still dependent on the UK, and it is not set free. And on September 18th, 2014, there was a referendum on the Scottish independence, which took place, and the majority, like I think it was like 56%, voted against the independence. However, there is also a referendum about the Scottish devolution going on. And as we discussed for Britain or Great Britain and British, let's have a look on the Scottish stereotypes. So first of all, a stereotype is that people have red hair. It is known also for the traditional skirts for men. Also, another stereotype is that Scottish people are mean, that people play the instrument, which is known as the bagpipe. Another stereotype is that Scotland has very cold weather. Once again, that traditional music is always with bagpipes, and the famous lake Loch Ness contains the sea monster Nessie. And what is devolution? So devolution is submitting power closer to the citizens so they can decide over local aspects that affect them directly. So decision making about the local factors would be way more effective because locals know the local struggles best. And Scotland has two governments thanks to devolution. So firstly, the Scottish government, and secondly, the UK government. And the Scottish government can make more effective and reasonable decisions regarding their very own country. And also the UK government is in charge of, for example, immigration, and Scottish government is in charge of the land use planning. And nevertheless, the two governments work together in peace. And that was it for today. So we had a look on Britishness, the British monarchy, Scotland, and the different aspects of it. So we discussed a lot of stereotypes. However, you should always keep in mind that stereotypes are like only like ideas which are not always true. They're also not really connected to reality. There is no proof. It is only a simple idea, like a simplified idea. Always keep that in mind. And I would say, let's have a look on another topic tomorrow. We'll discuss the climate change and also how you could maybe also live sustainable. And yeah, have a great day. See you tomorrow. Maggie.